Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Let's start off this podcast talking about where the economy is heading. So on the negative side, we have border closures and deportations that have served to reduce the labor force, which is half of GDP growth. Tariffs are going higher. Tariffs are taxes, and tariffs are increased regulations. The tariff level is going from 2% in 2024 to somewhere around 15%. That's the best estimate that I have now, given the current proposed tariffs, but who knows where they're going to be at the end. It could be going a lot higher. Could be going maybe a little bit lower. We don't know, but at the best estimate now is we're going to have, given our $4 trillion dollars worth of imports, a $600 billion tax hike per annum. Not only that, but we have forbearance on student loans and FHA loans. That's ended. FHA ended in April and student loans ended in May. There are over 9 million individuals that are in default or delinquency on their student loans and now headed for collections. That's money that's not going to be able to spend into the economy. It's going right to the government. And over 10% of FHA loans are now delinquent, which is going to put fuel on that very fragile housing market. I have more to say on that in a second. But let's talk about inflation for a second. That has already wiped out the middle class and down. 60% of Americans have less than $1,000 in savings, basically bankrupt. That is such a shame and a direct result of profligacy on the part of our government. Now, there are some positive things. We have on the positive side, we have temporary fiscal stimulus coming from the extension of the TCJA, the Tax Cut and Jobs Act. There is an incentive to purchase capital goods coming from the 100% expensing. But most of the big, beautiful bill will just allow for the existing rates to remain in place. So there's no new fiscal stimulus there. When you add it all up, you get an anemic economy and slow earnings per share growth that's trying to support the most expensive stock market in history. Now, and I said this last week, but it bears repeating. Narratives are great. We all have a narrative. Most of us who manage money, those who are not just trying to take your money and then closet index and shadow the S&P 500. Narratives are great, but what we really need to know is what the small cabal of oligarchs and despots that actually run the world are doing with their money well in advance before it is headline news on CNBC. And that is exactly what the IDEC model is built to accomplish. And if you know the level of the real Fed funds rate, the direction of the Fed's balance sheet, the net percentage of banks that are tightening lending standards, the dynamics behind the 10-2 yield curve spread, what's going on with the CRB index, Baltic Dry Index, and the break-even inflation rate. And if you can understand what's happening with junk bonds, the treasury spread, and the financial conditions, copper-gold ratio, the index of leading economic indicators, and the NFIB Small Business and Optimism Index, if you can get a handle on that, if you have a dynamic model that scores that based on the second derivative, you'll know exactly what the inflation and deflation dynamic is. And that really means you'll know exactly what this group of individuals are doing with their money. That's how they become multi-billionaires, because they control the global economy. Well, let's switch real quickly to real estate. Real estate is part of the triumvirate of bubbles. Home price to income ratio is at a record high. Home affordability is at a record low. 20% of all listings are now seeing price reductions. That's the highest in the last decade. There is now an historic imbalance of sellers to buyers, 500,000 more sellers than buyers. Active listings are up 29% year over year. A record number of pending home sales are being canceled. And that is why one third of the top 100 markets are now seeing annual price declines in real estate. Yes, the real estate bubble is breaking. Let's quickly switch to the Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve is not going to be able to cut rates until the uncertainty behind tariffs is behind us. And I have to ask myself a question, which I hope most independent, objective thinkers would ask themselves. The June CPI came in up 2.7% year over year, which was an increase from the year over year change in May. The core CPI is up 2.9% year over year, which again is a higher rate than it was in May. So with inflation up way above 2% and heading higher, why are we even discussing rate cuts at all? We should be at the very least discussing keeping the Fed funds rate where it is. Maybe increasing it, cutting it, I think is ridiculous. Now, President Trump wants short-term interest rates slashed down to 1%. Why would the Fed cut rates by over 300 basis points when the Fed's 2% target has been missed for the past 50 months? Trump wants to replace Powell with what I call an obsequious sycophant who aggressively will slash short-term interest rates. And that's going to happen outside of a recession. And that could send long-term rates spiking, stoking inflation fears when CPI is already elevated. That could send yields up sharply. You know, the last time the Fed cut interest rates by 100 basis points, 2024, long-term yields increased rather than fell. Okay, let's quickly switch to the labor market. The labor market, very, very weak. Government is hiring half of the jobs created. The labor force is shrinking, as I mentioned already. Aggregate hours work is falling. And private sector sources show that the employment condition in this country is shedding jobs. Continuing claims are now at the highest level since November of 2021. Let's talk about the valuations in the stock market really quickly. We have, as I like to say, the most expensive stock market in history. Do I say that because I like to use hyperbole or because I'm trying to scare you? No, it's a fact. We have the most expensive real estate, if you look at home price to income ratios, and we have the most expensive stock market given the valuations. The total market cap to GDP is now a whopping 210%. More than that means that the market value of equities is over two times the value of the economy. We have the equity risk premium, which is negative. And basically that means that the earnings yield on equities is less than what you can get from owning T-bills. The price to sales ratio has climbed back to 3, which is close to an all-time high. The CAPE ratio is at 37.8. This ratio has never borne a positive real return in the following decade once it eclipses this 37 area. So the triumvirate of bubbles, which is credit, real estate, and equities, is the direct result of 20 years of negative real interest rates. And those 20 years, it's unprecedented in history, has engendered the total non-financial U.S. debt as a percentage of GDP is higher today than at the start of the global financial crisis and the 2000 tech wreck, which saw equities wiped out and real estate wiped out. The current total market cap of, the total non-financial U.S. debt as a percentage of GDP today is 257%. In the start of the global financial crisis in Q4 of 2007, it was 234%. At the start of the NASDAQ crash, it was 189%. So there's your credit bubble. And that's the thing that my model looks at myopically. We're measuring that assiduously because that's where that cabal of oligarchs, that's what they're going to look at first. When they see the credit markets, when they see problems with the asset bubbles that are out there, the credit markets will be the first to respond. And that's what I look at assiduously. And that's when I'll know to get out of the stocks and short the market. And hopefully not only protect, but profit from the grand reconciliation of asset prices to come. You know, if people don't think that this is a problem, just look what happened in that Liberation Day tariffs. the Treasury complex started to melt down. Stocks fell 15% between April 2nd and April 8th. And the reason for that is simple. Without our creditor nations funding our Treasury complex, without those buyers, then Treasury prices would tumble and yields would soar, given our $2 trillion deficits. So we need our foreign creditors to recycle their trade surplus into our bond market and into our currency. And without that, the Treasury complex began to melt down. Well, you know, that was put to a halt when Trump went back on his, you know, he rescinded his Liberation Day tariff levels for 90 days, and he's learned his lesson. He's not going back there again. But there's some triggers for the bond crisis to happen again. You know, replacing Powell with a presidential puppet when we have a very big problem with inflation and insolvency could cause another meltdown in the Treasury market. And of course, a recession will do the same thing, because that's when deficits, annual deficits, will spike to $6 trillion. So there's either a recession or intractable inflation will eventually break the bond market. And people say, well, who cares? It's just U.S. debt. Well, the debt linked to the benchmark 10-year note includes mortgages. So there goes your housing market. The housing bubble will crash if mortgage rates spike. There's corporate debt. There goes your equity bubble, because corporations have to borrow at much higher rates. That'll kill the equity bubble. Of course, auto loans and student loans are priced there, and that'll kill the economy. So our current positioning is 68% in T-bills. We have a very small short position of 2%. We've got 10% U.S. equities in the right places. We've got 10% precious metals. And we have a 5% inflation hedge, and we're about 5% foreign stocks. These are rough estimates as to where my current positioning is. But we are heavily weighted into bonds because the risk-reward ratio isn't there right now. That will change. We seek to protect and profit from the grand reconciliation of asset prices, which could and should be as much as 40%. It could be even higher. And then when everything shakes out and becomes more investable, the model will tell me, and we'll get long, aggressively long stocks for that significant reflationary recovery, which I see happening. So until then, it was great talking to you, and we'll talk again next week.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.